Amen. Thank you, brother. We're going to be in Isaiah this morning to start with, Isaiah chapter number 7. We're going to be down in verse number 10. It's one of those mornings where I'm like, man, I got to make sure I get done on time. I get in everything I want to get in that the Lord wants in. I'll be quite honest, it's a circus in my brain sometimes. And I'm just like, which? I don't ever struggle with, I need a message. It's like, which one? Which one? There's so many at Christmas time especially that are just super great messages. And I try to remember what I preached even last year. When I was younger, I couldn't, this has been crazy. It's like, I can remember certain messages. Now that I'm older, they think I'd forget them. I can remember them because I'll go in an order, which isn't me, and I'll remember and I'll work my way through. It's like, oh yeah. So 2 weeks ago when we were in Philippians 2, we talked about the mindset, a mindset of servitude, a mindset of letting this mind be in you, Philippians 2, thinking about others. In chapter 1, Paul said to the church at Philippi, he said, for God is my record, right? And they said, when you die and they put something on the stone, it's usually not something you did the last 2 weeks of your life, right? You know, and he laid in the bed, you know. I mean, that's not what they're going to put in there. They're going to put in something that was representative of your life, of your whole, the whole thing, right? When we look in the Bible and we see that Abraham was a friend of God, and a lot of preachers like to make it look like he's the only friend God has. It's not true, right? It's not true, but that's true. In Scripture, let's say he was the friend of God. And you say, well, I remember when he went into here and he said his wife was his sister and all, you know, technicality, right? His half-sister. And he didn't want to lose his head. Didn't want to lose his wife. He was fearful and he let that control his action. But for the scope of his life, the Bible says he was God's friend. You read Hebrews 11, there's no mistaking that he was faithful and he trusted the Lord. He trusted him. And so we saw that Paul said, mine be in you. And then he said in chapter 121, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That was his thought process. So then the end of the thing, we had to go backwards to see it. He could say, for God is my record. When he looked at Paul, he said, I don't look at Paul. He said, look to the Savior. He said, look to God. And then last week we preached on having a merry heart. And again, not M-E-R-R-Y, but M-A-R-Y. And looking at the angel coming to Mary and giving her a message and taking that. Sometimes we get messages and we're like, oh man, how's this going to work? And God says, I want you to do this and I want you to be this. And I'm like, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? And the angel reminded her and told her, with God, all things. All things. And the absolutes in the Bible, when they come out of a man's mouth, if he's not quoting Scripture, right? yeah, right. It might be something to that. But if God says all things, then that's going to be all things. With God, all things are possible. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can make the sun stand still. He can make it snow for years if he wanted to. Now, I'm glad he doesn't. Amen? I'm glad he doesn't. Sometimes it feels like it. I don't know what it is about us. We're the most fickle people, right? I don't want any snow. I don't want this whole last week. I'm like, let her go, Lord. Just let her dump. You know? Let it be so. My mom's house is brown right now. There's no snow. Kids want to go to grandma's house. One of the awesome things is the sledding hills. But it's just, you're looking at this grassy, you know, and I'm like, that's not cool. We wouldn't want that. We want the snow. We want to have it. Merry heart. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Going back to Philippians 2, right? Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Bible says he put on self flesh. He became a servant for us. I want to be in charge. Well, you need to serve everybody. You need to help. And that was her message. We went to the marriage feast of Cana Galilee where she told the servants, right? And she didn't say it. She might as well say, I don't know what he's going to do, but whatever he says to do, you just go do that. And they found all them pots and they're there to fill them up full of water. Their need was something that they, right? Wasn't what they thought, right? Well, we need this. Lord, we need wine. Well, you need water in that pot. Jesus, you just don't understand, right? We're not putting out a fire. We need wine for the... right? And that's how we are, right? We'll pray and put God in a corner and be like, Lord, we need your help, right? Instead of, Lord, I need 50 bucks. No, you need my help is what you need, right? I just need 50. Well, I was going to give you 1,000, but if you said 50, you know, we'll just never know what's going on. But if you tell, Lord, we need your help, you've kind of made all things available to yourself there instead of saying, Lord, I got it. Oh, praise the Lord. It's exciting. But anyways, it was not Mary's heart. It's all about your heart. It's all about your heart. There's some people love Christmas, some people don't like Christmas. It's all, you put it on or you don't put it on. People that love Christmas, they start listening to Christmas music there's no stop to it. You go up to the North Pole, the real North Pole, and I tell everybody, I've been there. I've been to the North Pole. I've seen Santa's workshop. I've seen it. I've seen the knickknacks. They're here, man. This place is and we were up there playing 2 years ago, and you know you're killing time because you don't play till like 6 at night, and so you the kids are like, all right, let's go to the North Pole, and I'm going through. Everybody they're buying Christmas ornaments in September or whatever it was. It is what it is. Some people do it all year long, but it has to do with the heart. It has to do with our heart. And a merry heart, Mary stuck with Jesus. Oh, it was her son. Hey, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't stick with her. She stuck with him all the way to the cross, right? Until Jesus handed her off and told John, hey, right, behold your mother. You take care of her, right? She's faithful, right? Didn't mean she knew everything, but she was willing in her heart to be used. Super important, super important. This morning, I preach a message, God with us, God in us. God with us, God in us. Isaiah chapter number 7. I try to remember how long we were in Isaiah on Wednesday night. It's a long time. It's a long book. And studying and looking at it, but it was super, super good for me. It just helped me a ton. And the things I learned, the lessons I learned. At this time, God has called Isaiah. We'll go to chapter 6 for missions, conferences, and we'll look at that and we'll read through the verse 1 in the year that King Uzziah died, and we see the verses that we would use for that. Isaiah saying, here am I, send me. We see that, and we use that for missions, and it's great. We use that. The context of this, there was a king, King Uzziah, and when the king dies, then somebody else becomes king. And again, we talked about in passing a few weeks ago, nepotism's great as long as the person coming behind thinks like the person that there was before, or otherwise things change. You know, it's like, well, why would that guy hire his son? Why would that guy hire the this one? Because they think alike. So that the theme is, whatever's going on, it can continue on. Like, oh, why this was great, but why did it change? I was talking to a fishing guide sometime this week, and we got on. We're talking about Cabela's, Brother Tony, and I said, then they sold out. You know? And so the Cabela's stuff from way back, my stepdad used to call and order stuff. He'd get the owners. Oh, hey, this is Jim Cabela, this is Dick Cabela. Hey, how you doing? You know, not anymore. You know, now they're owned by somebody else. Like, what happened? Somebody just, and it changes. So you got one king we see in the Old Testament that served God, loved God. Then the Bible says, you know, they came, the one that came behind him, he said, did that which wasn't right in the eyes of the Lord. So Isaiah is God's preacher. He's God's prophet. He's there preaching, and he's just going through the kings, right? Here's one, and God bring him down. Here's another, bring him down. He's just preaching the same message over and over. See, he's the one that's lasting. He's like Daniel, right? Here's the one that doesn't leave, and he sees them all, and he's there for them all. And in chapter number 7, we are after the reign of Uzziah, there's Jotham, then there's King Ahaz. The Bible says in verse number 10, we're going to have to, let me back up just a little bit. I'm just going to read very quickly from verse 3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son. Hey, no. All the funny names, but they all have meanings, right? So we're going to look at, real quickly this morning, three names, three meanings this morning, three sons, Shear-Jashub thy son. At the end of the conduit of the upper pool, highway of the fuller's field, say unto him, take heed, be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of reason and with Syria, and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah, vex it, let us make a breach therein for us, set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tubal. So the Israelites, the northern king Israel, and we have southern king Judah, Jerusalem, we talked about on Wednesday nights, all those nights we were studying those things. People were going to come and they were going to destroy Jerusalem and put their own king there. And the king that's there right now is like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, what are we going to do? And God told Isaiah, you need to go tell them, right? You got people coming against you, but it's going to be all right. Wicked king. Not a good king. The Bible says here in verse number 7, not stand, neither shall it come to pass. Now, verse 3 says, then said the Lord unto Isaiah. So he's speaking to Isaiah to go tell the king. Verse 8, for the head of Syria is Damascus. The head of Damascus is risen within 65 years. Shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people? 65. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, right? If you will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. We don't take God at His word. You're not going to be established on His word. It's not going to happen. And he gives us some promises here in the next couple of verses. So I say all that to give a context. It was a mess right now in Isaiah's day. It was a mess. Well, you know, it's a mess today. It is. Just is. But the truth is the same. If we won't believe His word, we're not going to be established on it. And there's going to be people running around like chickens. And if you've never killed one and watched it die, we talk about the saying, a chicken with its head cut off, it just bounces and flaps and throws blood everywhere, and there's no rhyme or reason to where it goes. There's no rhyme or reason to how it thinks. And that's how some people will be. And I want you to be that way. And I don't want to be that way. God doesn't want us to be that way. Verse 10, God goes from speaking to Isaiah to speaking to this wicked king. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Guys, really interesting. Ahaz. You don't have to turn there, but I'll just read for you real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter number 28. The Bible says, for the Lord brought Judah low because of Ahaz, king of Israel. For he made Judah naked and transgressed sore against the Lord. And Tilgath-Pilneser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion out of the house of the Lord and out of the house of the king and of the princes and gave it unto the king of Assyria, and he helped him not. Assyrians want to come and destroy Jerusalem, and the king is so against God, he takes from God's house and he says, here, I'll pay you off, don't hurt us. And then change anything. That's embarrassing. You lost your stuff and you got no help, right? Looks bad, but he was bad. This is the kind of person we're talking about. Verse 22, you don't have to read, just listen. In the time of his distress, did he trespass yet more against the Lord? This got worse. It just went down. There's some people like that. It's just a mess. They'll never come out and get back on truth. Acknowledge that they're wrong. Acknowledge that they were thinking wrong, listening to the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing. They just go more and more and more and more. I was watching some interviews this week, and it just reminded me how simple life is when you tell the truth. You don't have to believe the last lie that you told. I really don't match up with what you said a couple of months ago. No matter who it is. No matter who it is, right? No matter what party they're from, you tell the truth. The Bible says, verse 23, he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus, which smote him. He said, because the gods of the kings of Syria helped them, therefore will I sacrifice to them, that they may help me. But they were the ruin of him and of all Israel. This is how we thought. He's like, oh, well, they're helping those people just get all the things they need. They're just mowing through. So I worship their gods. Then they'll help me. is jumping. I have it written down in my Bible. I said, Satan's got him jumping from God to God to God to God. So Israel, the northern kingdom, they were so debauched. They had looked to the neighboring countries. Oh, we want to worship their gods. And Ahaz was like, man, they're doing pretty good up there. I want the temple. I want all this, the things in God's house to resemble all their idolatrous stuff. He sends his people up there to measure them, you know, because you got to get right. I mean, when you got false gods people, you spend all this government money on false gods. It's got to be right. That was him. Oh, it didn't work. I'm going to try this. Oh, it didn't work. Unsettled as water. Just drive you crazy. This is Ahaz. This is Ahaz. Jumping from here, doing this, doing that. The Bible says it was the ruin of him and of all Israel. The Bible says Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of God and made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, every several city of Judah. He made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, Isaiah 7:10. Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Was Jehovah God Ahaz's God? Not in his heart, no. No, or otherwise he'd asked him before. God's putting it to him. Giving him an opportunity. Ask me a sign. Hey, sign seeker, you need some help, right? You need 4 foot of snow here and have the ground be bare there? Ask me a sign. And the hypocritical spiritual here. Lord says, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. In other words, he said, hey, you just ask. You go ahead. Go ahead. I think I could probably do it. That's not in there. Amen, that's not in there. Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Pretty smug. Pretty smug. Oh, I've never tempted God. I only destroyed your house. I only caused your people to transgress. I only worship every other little g god under the sun. I'd never tempt you. Ask a sign. How unfaithful would that be? Terrible, right? Ooh. Ahaz said, I will not ask. Verse 13, he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? There were people even then that loved God with all their heart, that worshiped God with all their heart, just because their king was an idiot didn't mean all the people were. Just like our country. Because our leadership does dumb things. It doesn't mean that we have to do dumb things as well. Because leadership can be bought and sold. There has been, like in the last month, I'm thinking, man, that scripture lines up, that scripture lines up, that scripture. Revelation says they bought and sold souls of men. We talked about it Wednesday night. Greed will take your soul. It doesn't matter what you get in return for it, right? Everybody say money, power, prestige, position. New transportation secretary. Homosexual pastor from Indiana. Filled a pothole once. On TV. So they said, well, we must put him in charge of our nation's highways. Or are we trying to push an agenda there about homosexuality and, you know, a little spin-off commercial how it's okay to have it in the church? And there's a mess here in the house of God. It was a mess. Absolute mess. Just because our leadership's messy, goofy, weird, strange. Doesn't mean we have to be. Now, I'm not talking about current or past. I'm just talking in general. In general. I will not ask. Says, will you weary my God also? 14, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You're not going to ask for one. I'm going to give you one. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. Now, verse number 15, the Bible says, butter and honey shall he eat, that ye may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. But before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. When we went through and we studied it, we talked about it. So we have Shir Jashub, we have Isaiah's son, and then we have Emmanuel here. Shir Jashub means a remnant shall return. And then he has a son later on, Mahershala Hashbaz, which means hasty to the spoil, which talks about the Assyrians coming. But the Assyrians in their pride get lifted up. God's like, I don't want a pride whooping stick. I'm going to use the Babylonians. Right? And the Babylonians come and they take over. And they're the ones that carry off Israel ultimately. But we have these three signs. We have these three children. So when it talks about butter and honey shall eat, then we go back to Shir Jashub. We go from there. But we have in verse number 14, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We know it's not Shir Jashub because we know he's already been born. We know it's not Shir Jashub because it's not his name, Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. Verse 9, before we leave again, if ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. If you're not going to take God at His Word, you're going to be a mess in 2021. It will be. It shall be. Okay? I mean, your mission to be today, not to survive. Can't stand survival. I'm just going to survive. Right? The other guy that was in the election, he's just trying to survive. He said, I feel bad for him. I really do. I mean, I think about him. You think about his age. I mean, my grandpa got old. He told the same three stories. He'd go over to his house. He'd go, Grandpa, I love you, but let me tell the story. I'm going to add some new characters to it, and I'm going to spice it up a bit. I went to my grandpa's house. I don't know. It was all the time. I had a set, in college, I'd go home to it. I'd stop by grandpa's, then I'd go to my mom's. On Sunday, we always had cake and ice cream at grandpa's house when he couldn't come to church anymore. He got proud, preacher. And he said, I can't walk. I can't hear. I'm not going. And I said, that's no excuse not to lay out of church. And I used to sit with the churches. Hearing aids would go off and they'd squeak and squawk. And I thought everybody in the world was looking at me and blaming me. But anyways, I love my grandpa. I'd go and sit and listen to him. And Mr. Biden, I'm thinking like, man, dude, you just need to be like, with your family, with your kids, with your grandkids. He's got family. Go be with them. Enjoy the rest of your life versus trying to remember all the names and the places and the things and the ideas that I'm pushing and who I am and where I am and all. You know, I'm just like, think about it. That's tough. It's hard. I mean, President Trump, he's not young, but it's hard. But man, he's sharp. He's sharp. It's like, man, it's just poof. And I'm thinking, you know, there's some pastors like, well, when do you quit? When do you retire? Remember who you are? Do you remember where you are? Do you remember? Because there's some, they just keep going. Who they are and where they are. They probably should go. But hey, there's nothing in there for that. If we won't believe, going into this next year won't be established. We're going to jump from here. We're going to go to John 14. Quickly, John 14. God with us, God in us. Doesn't matter what's going around. Doesn't matter what's going on. You make the choice whether you're going to be established on God's word or not. You make the choice whether you're going to believe truth or not. God is the truth. You don't even have to come up with your own truth. You just have to establish yourself upon Him. God with us, God in us. Verse 16 of John chapter number 14. Jesus is telling the disciples, and I will pray the Father. So I will ask Him. He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not. Neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you.
Ahaz was like, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want because I can. I don't have anybody looking over my shoulder and I don't have a Holy Spirit dwelling. And that's not his reason. It's hard to sin being a Christian. You got this spirit inside saying, oh, nope. What are you doing? You just be quiet, right? I mean, that you got something inside telling you, no, don't do it. And just don't think for a second it's your conscience. It's the Holy Ghost of God speaking to you. Don't do that. Bring glory to God. Why'd you do that? Or, hey, that was really good. Every once in a while you get one of those. Get a thumbs up. You did good. Oh, man. I was really trying. Working against myself the whole way, but I was really trying and ended up doing something right. The Spirit of truth, the Bible says he's going to be in us. Yet a little while, verse 19 says, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. The Bible says in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. There should be great comfort from the Word of God that you have God not just with you, but in you. That means where you go, he is. I got to go to him. No, he's already with you. I could just get a hold of God. How far away is he? He's right there with you. Speak to him. Anytime, anywhere, speak to him. Talked about him in Sunday school. It's going to be a spiritual battle. There are going to be spirits that come in. It's going to be like, oh, the Chinese tell our secrets. Oh, the Chinese knows when I was born. Oh, the Chinese, right? I mean, you can come here next week and say, Pastor, my stuff got hacked. I'm not the guy. I don't know what to tell you. I don't understand how my kid can call me on an iPad, on an iPod. I don't get it. It's like, it's not a phone. I don't know if this is something that can happen. It works. I don't know. I'm not smart. But the Bible talks about evil inventions. And there's people like, they say, I'm going to use this to get in. Cost too much money to fly over there and case their house out and wait till they're gone and go in and take it. I'm going to get it while they sleep. And I'm not going to leave my house to do it. It's just amazing. It's where we live. It's amazing. It's like, ooh, right? Secure your stuff. There's these spirits that come in. A lot of them are going to be fear. Fear of the unknown, right? And what we've talked about is we want to be controlled by God. Controlled by his spirit. Not controlled by these other spirits, whether they be fear or any other spirit. Verse number 26, before we leave to go to chapter 16. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. When I was young, I was in an institute, and we didn't, you don't know anything. So it's like, you don't know what you want to, like what you would do. You're a pastor, a missionary, like, I don't know. But I thought to myself, well, you're a pastor, it's like, hey, you got to teach stuff. So much of the job is just helping people, including myself, to remember. Well, I have to read my Bible every day because we forget. It's that simple. I just read. I've already read it. All right. Tell me what it says. I don't remember. Yeah, refresh yourself, right? Look at it again and again and again, right? Again and again and again, and help yourself to remember. The Bible says the Holy Ghost is going to help us to remember, to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's going to promote God's Word back into your thoughts, even if you've forgotten them. He will do it. But you need to dwell on that. You need to be established on that. God with us, God in us. We need to be about God. We need to be about Him on purpose. On purpose. Chapter number 16 of John, just a page over for me. Verse number 7 of John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Okay? And if you're, you know, Madison is right, the guide part. The guides will take you where you need to go, but they won't do it for you. I mean, our state's covered up in guides, right? I deal with guides all the time, right? I'm a this guide, I'm a that. I try to keep track of who they are, where they are, so I can get their fishery straight in my brain, what they do, right? You know, the majority of them, like the fishing guides, I mean, they're taking calls this time of year, they're booking trips, and stuff. They're taking people to the fish, but they don't catch them for them, right? And by rule, they can't. But it's like, here you go, and you gotta do the work. And God's saying, I'll lead you in the right path. But you have to decide whether you're going to do it or not. I'll show you which way to go. I'll show you the places. I'll open the doors. And you're so thankful because you don't see all the things that are outside that try to obscure your vision, that are trying to block the way, that confuse you enough. I mean, you got your flesh to deal with, but all the spiritual junk going on outside, there's like, try to get them off track so they can't live their life in a manner that would please God and help others to believe on God. We don't want that. Let's obscure the way. Let's confuse them. Get them out of the way. Mess them up. The Bible says He's our guide. He'll guide you into, the Bible here's absolute again, all truth. If you rely on God, it's all truth. You won't have to get, I wonder if it was right or not. Just don't rush God. That's my only thing. Just don't rush Him, right? God takes time to do things. He takes time to do things. It takes time. And things that are important take time. Churches aren't built in a night, in a week. Everybody said, we build a church in 3 weeks. No, you didn't. I mean, you may have built a building in 3 weeks. But to teach Christ and build Christ in people and through, that doesn't happen. It takes time. Things that are important take time. The Bible says, for He shall not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. The Bible says, He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath in mind. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. Our guide will get us to where we go, where we need to go. He's in us. He's with us. Ahab said, no, I wouldn't ask anything of you. He said, okay, I'll give you a sign. There's going to be one born of a virgin. And He's going to be God with us. What a statement amongst all that mess. 1 John 4, and we're done this morning. 1 John 4. John, and John. 1 John 4. Men's got a little bit of it this morning for Sunday school. We'll finish this morning. God with us. God in us. 1 John 4, verse number 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. We've established ourselves on God. We're feeding on His Word. It's our appetite, right? Not hard to tell who's been eating garlic, amen? Yeah, you should smell like it, right? It's not hard to tell people who've been living on God's Word. You just got a smile on their face. They're usually kind. They're usually willing to listen. The Bible says we need to do these things because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Because they're in the world. I mean, you watch for them in the church house, but you need to watch for them all over the place. Because instead of doing it from a pulpit saying, you're like, oh, that's okay, I just won't go to that church. Then I've effectively... No, they're out in the world where all the people are, and they're using the church stuff out there. The problem is that it confuses people about Christ and all kinds of things. And the big downer would be is to take Christians and cause them to doubt God's Word. If I could just doubt it. I mean, on a political side, if we make people doubt
our guiding documents.
Well, that's not really what they meant. That's easy to say. They've been dead for a long time. Can't ask them. All you can do is look at what's written down. Then you argue over, oh, that's what they meant, that's not what they meant. Right? So just like Scripture, you take one verse out of context. You need to do it by the whole Scripture. The Bible says the Spirit compares spiritual things with spiritual things, Scripture to Scripture. You never have to guess. Like, oh, I'm glad so-and-so wrote a book because now we can prove the Bible's right. No, it doesn't work that way. God doesn't need any of us to prove His Word. He doesn't need any of us. He says, establish yourself on my Word. Know it so when false prophets come. Right? Everybody says you don't have to study counterfeits. You just study real bills. Counterfeit comes, you're like, hey, over here. Right? We'll make you a whistleblower. Right? Now, I can't wait to blow the whistle. I carry a Fox 40 like all season long. And I really have to watch because you blow it in somebody's ear. I mean, it's like muzzle blast. I mean, it's like, oh, sorry. Coach, now you're right. I've been so tempted to carry him in games when referees won't use them. You know, be like, where'd that whistle come from? They're like, hey, I don't know. Let's not go over there. Throw him out. I'm like, you know, and whistleblower, right? Fake ballots come in, right? Be like, oh, well, they look just like the real thing. How do we know? Have a spine and stand up and say, yeah, that's a little peculiar here. A little strange. What's a fine print made in China? Oh, unbelievable. False prophets. It's just throwing all this stuff out there. Sprinkle some Jesus in it. Sprinkle some God in it. Oh, it's got to be good. They're talking about God. Well, they didn't really say Jesus, but they said God. I know that's what they meant. Right? Pink Kool-Aid, red Kool-Aid, blue Kool-Aid, green Kool-Aid. Check it out! What's the deal? What's behind this? I got a book in my mailbox. That was like last year, 2 years ago. I think it was J-Dub sent it. No titles. No church affiliation. No nothing. Everybody got one. I said, well, somebody's got money because they cut a whole bunch of trees down for this. You know, I'm looking at it like, man, all this stuff. That doesn't sound so bad. All of a sudden, oh, wait. Well, boo. Into the recycling bin. Who did this? But me bothered for 3 weeks. Who would do such a thing? The Bible says the enemy has done this, right? I'm like, where did it come from? You really care about it? I do! It bugs me to no end. I want to know why. Agenda, really trying to push it, really trying to get it in there. Bible says in verse number 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's why Christmas time matters. It's Jesus time when He came. You can call it Jesus time and mess some people up. Merry Christmas, Merry Jesus time, you know? I mean, you could mess them up. Say, why is it so important? Because Jesus came. God became flesh at this time, right? Was it December 25th or December 20th? It doesn't matter. It was this time. That's what's important. I don't know if He really came. Happy holiday. No. No, right? Don't buy it. Don't accept it. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be cruel. You don't have to. I mean, I remember when that was the big thing. Happy holiday. Oh, ooh, right? That's like nothing now, right? I mean, that's like the tiniest thing now. Now we're just like, you're getting a vaccine. You're not getting a vaccine. I mean, it's like, it's moved on, right? It's moved on. But I appreciate it. People say, Merry Christmas. I love it. Love it. Makes me cringe when I see businesses get our Xmas sale. I'm like, no. Get your Jesus sale. Jesus birthday sale. No mistaking there. This guy's crazy. He believes the Bible. He's crazy like me. Like, you'll be friends with this guy, maybe. I don't know. That's what it is about. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any spirit that takes a hack at that, it's not of God. Wrong spirit. It's not of God. Not of God. The Bible says they dress up as angels. They'll make themselves look like this. What is the ultimate end? Oh, that helped me build my faith in God. That was a good chance to come from God. Made me question God. God doesn't love me. God doesn't know. He is with me. What do you mean He doesn't know me? That's craziness. He's inside. What do you mean He doesn't care about me? Wrong spirit. Verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. I thought it was a person. It's a spirit. Goes against God. There's people, I mean, there is agendas, there's whatever. God's stricken, Christ is cut out, and just chopped out. It's a spirit. What do you mean it's a spirit? It means they just keep going. It seems like it's ever. Yeah, it's a spirit. When teams have the spirit to win, usually nothing will stop them. It's awesome to watch. You're like, all things are overcome. My thing broke. This one, I had to fix it. Look at this. Listen. Oh, fix it. The idea is, we're going to win. It's a spirit attack. We've already lost. Also impressive to watch. We've already lost. It hasn't started yet. I know, but look how big they are. They're stronger than we. Oh, right? It's a spirit. It controls you. Like, John, we practiced for weeks. For weeks. You're going to quit now for weeks. I don't have the spirit of losing. We want to win. I don't know. Oh, wears you out, right? I come home and you're just tired. You know? I'm dumb enough to go back on Monday. I'm dumb enough to do it. The spirit. Why spirits? They control. They control. There are people that want to use the spirits, whether they know they're using them or not. I don't know how smart they are. The dumbness of some people is amazing. But it's like, they knew. It's like, boy, we can, but I know that a lot of them do. Controlled by that. Make them fear. Some of the, and people, I'm never going to get into like some of these moral debates of vaccine stuff. You want to get a vaccine? Great. You don't want to? Great. Wonderful. Just like the mask thing. You want to wear them? Great. Don't want to wear them? Great. The vice president, our health secretary's one, they're getting them just to show people. They want to help people. They said, we wouldn't ask you to do this if we didn't believe it. I said, that's great. It's wonderful. Is it going to change my mind? Probably not. But they're trying to help people, right? For all you know, they could just be getting some saline put in their arm. Yeah. And you don't know it. And they just, it's hard to tell because we're not within 6 feet. We're so far away. And you don't know. Settle that in your own heart. Get that all figured out there. But don't be fearful about it. Don't let the spirit of fear control you. The Bible says, and we're done in verse number 4. Remember, God with us, God in us. Ye are of God, little children. And have overcome them. Overcome what? Those spirits. Overcome them. Why? Because you have God. You have the Holy Spirit of God. He sits above. Those spirits will always be there. Some are reserved now in the chains of darkness, the Bible says. Some are already there now, but there's some. They're loose to do their bidding. And to influence you. It's their job. That's what Satan uses them for. God sits above. He said, you've already overcome them. Why? Because I'm in you. I'm taking you to the top, right? Like, yes, they need to think that way. Well, one day we'll be with Jesus and it'll all be over. No! Right? You can have victory now. You need to have it now. You need to have a victory mindset. The Bible says, because, again, right? It says, try every spirit, whether they be of God, because. And the Bible says, you're of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Be you or Satan or one of these spirits, all in the world. God says, I'm greater if I'm in you. I'm with you. I told a wicked king that was my sign to him that a virgin shall conceive, and God's going to be with you. Put everybody on alert. I just imagine, the spiritual timing of the thing and be like, we got to watch for this, Is this going to happen? And it's hundreds and hundreds of years later. But it happened. And an angel came to a virgin and he told her. And he says, you're going to be with child. How? Don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. Right? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The Bible says we have to believe and establish ourselves on that. We have to try these things that would work to get us off track. Right? Make it about the Savior. Make this time about the Lord. Thank you so much for letting us have your kids on Friday night. All of them. We had a great time. We asked them, whose birthday? Whose birthday? And they knew. Doing a good job. They just keep pushing that. Are we pushing an agenda? You bet. God's. God's. It's just God's agenda is all it is. You blame us. It's God's agenda. I'm deciding to adopt it. Yeah, it's a pretty easy platform. We're going to love people. We're going to help people. Jesus' birthday. It's that time. It's the things that God would have us to do. It is Mary saying, behold, a handmaid of the Lord. Let's help people this time of year. Some people don't want help. It's going to happen. If you have an opportunity to come out Wednesday night, you'll cry. I know I'm going to probably. I'm going to tell myself not to. Why? Because people are going to be like, we're hearing those things, and we love it because we get to speak to spirits. Spirits control. They can control emotions for the good, though, for the good, to make them remember the things about God, that yes, God is in control. One of the passages that you read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 about older folks, little things trouble them. The Bible says we have to help those. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it says support the weak. Comfort the feeble-minded. Help them. Just say, man, God loves you. Help them. That will help them. That's really the battle. That's it. It's a spiritual thing. Can I touch them and make them 20 again? No. So I go and see them, Chris, cheer them up, right? That's the idea. God with us. God in us. And God in us changes things. Let's stand this morning. Let's sing our song of invitation, 261, Brother Joe Bleeps. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Plenty to look at, plenty to be dismayed about, of course. It's a boring way to live, people. But God's not happy with it. So, well, they look to me and have victory. Well, they're looking all around and seeing defeat. Right? January 6th, preacher. All the world's going to fall apart. It's going to be interesting, right? Because it hadn't happened in a couple hundred years. But we get to make history together, right? That's exciting. It's exciting. Let's make history looking at Christ. 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. We'll sing this morning.